Mayor Dolby's back with us this morning.
Good morning, Greg.
He was not on the ballot, but a good night for Mayor Dolby.
Yeah, I didn't see my name on there yesterday.
But I think all your candidates, let's say they slipped through.
Yeah, I was a clean sweep. I had endorsed Dan Mahoney for mayor, obviously. Arlene Robinson for first ward, Angelita Gunn up in the third ward, and Karen Bunnell in the fifth, and all of them were successful last night. And I think that the Jackson City Council is going to really have a great team together to really continue the progress that we've worked so hard to build over the last 4 years and keep that progress going.
Four women on the council, I think that's a world record here.
Yeah, I think that Jackson set some pretty big pieces of history last night. First black mayor in city history. First time we've had a majority of women on the city council, and with Mahoney, Dancy, Robinson, and Gunn, this will be the first time in history that the Jackson City Council is represented by a majority of people of color. So, you know, I think that we are shining through and showing that we're a open, inclusive community that really views diversity as a strength, and we're making sure that we're being equitable and including that diversity in our highest positions of power in the city.
Troubling, though, Derek, the gun violence. We have another young teen shot and killed right on the streets, and I know everybody's upset.
Yeah, and I know that's been a topic of conversation throughout the election, and we were just talking with Councilwoman or Vice Mayor Arlene Robinson about that yesterday. And in fact, I had a meeting with the chief of police and city manager and our chief equity officer yesterday, talking about the Community Police Oversight Commission and some of the potential appointees to that. And I got talking about the homicide the previous day. And, you know, the chief of police made mention that, you know, there's that this is all the more reason for moving forward very quickly with the group violence intervention programming that council voted for earlier this year. You know, there's they have a good idea of who was involved and and why that happened, and I think it speaks to the fact that we have a small group of individuals that are causing overwhelming proportion of our violence that we see in the shootings that we see in the community. And we have to continue to do everything that we can to break that cycle, to reach out to those young folks that are associating with those small groups of individuals and pull them out of that sort of lifestyle and ultimately save their lives. And unfortunately, that program can't come fast enough.
Yeah, is it fair to say a lot of gangs have developed? I you know, unless you live there, you know, it's not going to be top of mind or you don't see it, but you hear an awful lot about these little gangs that are causing a lot of the issues, obviously.
Yeah, that's the majority of what we're seeing here in the city, and that sort of activity is spreading to other cities as well. In fact, we were just talking yesterday about some of the challenges that Ypsilanti is seeing. I think they are experiencing a lot more violence like this as well, Pittsfield Township. So it's not something that is unique to Jackson,
sure.
But we can, I think, work to address it through some of the proposals that we've put in place. And as I was talking to Councilwoman Robinson last night. I think that there's some other models in other cities, Project Greenlight, things like that, that the next council can continue to explore to really give the police department and community leaders even more tools to try to address the gun violence that we see here. So, yeah, it is a lot of the small groups, posses, gangs. They range in size. Some of them are more formalized than others, but it is the association of some of these individuals that are, I think when we last did the study 2 years ago, it was about 150, 200 individuals throughout the community and mm-hmm. some individuals that they were associated with. So it's not a large number of individuals, and they, you know, respond to each other with their beefs and things like that. So the group violence intervention programming is specifically designed to address, you know, what we're seeing here in Jackson. And I'm thankful that council voted to move forward with that. Thankful that, you know, we got some funds from the American Rescue Plan Act, and Treasury allowed us to use those to address the violence that we see here.
Hey, we had Ken Toll on yesterday. He seemed to indicate that he's not really looking at that new tribes building anymore, that they're looking at maybe some other options for transitional housing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the drive for some sort of solution to providing some transitional workforce development kind of housing somewhere in Jackson County is still there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it's that it is any more centered on the Ethnos building. I know Ken's been looking at a couple of different buildings, but I think that that's going to be something that we'll be talking about next week at the city council meeting. I just met with the Continuum of Care, kind of organization that is a conglomerate of many different organizations in Jackson County working to address housing insecurity and homelessness here, and talked to them about my proposal from the last meeting to create a Jackson Affordable Housing Authority, Development Authority, and Housing Trust Fund, and putting some of our American Rescue Plan Act dollars into that to work to preserve and develop more affordable housing in the city, to create grants and loan programs to do just that, to create some housing navigators, and also to focus on some of the gap financing in some of those larger scale, low mod income developments, as well as provide some funding for some more transitional housing. So met with them yesterday. I think that they'll be sending a letter of support, and I think that a number of organizations represented at that table will be sending in letters of support so that we can move forward with that and hopefully work to address in a very long-term way affordable housing here in the city.
He also seemed to he didn't seem to indicate, he indicated that the nonprofits around here could use some of that federal money from the city and county, as they have been really strapped during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's in addition to the large numbers of individuals and businesses that have been hurting during the pandemic, certainly our organizations in our not-for-profit sector have been hurting as well, and trying to survive and help people all the while working through the pandemic. So I certainly think that that's going to be something that we'll continue to look at, and the next council will continue to look at. Hopefully the county can put some of their resources to use as well in this housing space. You know, when Chairman Chotwell was on with me a few weeks ago, I think we both said that affordable housing was the number one issue that the city faced. And, you know, the city is within Jackson County, so it would be great to have some of their resources put to work addressing affordable housing in the city as well and helping to support those nonprofits that are doing that work. Just talking with Wendy Clow and Habitat, I mean, there is such a need for people for upgrades to their homes, for projects that are going to work to preserve their homes for low to moderate income people, people under, you know, 100% of area median income. You know, people need help. And I think that that's exactly what Democrats in Congress voted to pass the American Rescue Plan Act. I say that because no Republicans voted for it. But they put those resources into the hands of states, counties, and cities, and now it's incumbent on us to get it into the hands of the nonprofits, the businesses, and the individual families that need it most.
So what's your advice for Dan Mahoney?
Well, you know, I said, you know, he won by, I think it was somewhere around 55% to 45% of the vote. Now it's on him to kind of turn around and do what he can to be a mayor for everybody and get to work. And I think that he's going to be likely sitting down with some of the current council members that he's going to be serving with and those that just got elected last night and, you know, figure out how to get work done. It's, I think, going to be a lot different than the experience that he's had at the county. And, you know, I think he'll do well. You know, I think he's campaigned on some of the issues that he wants to address. And as I told him last night, you know, I'm happy to be an ally and continue to work with him to put some of the pieces together, put some of the policies together, and continue to advocate for Jackson as a private citizen.
What is the dynamic, Derek, between the mayor and the city manager?
Well, right now I think it's good. Me and I've worked with, I think, three different city managers now from when Larry Schaefer was here, Patrick Birch, and now Jonathan Green. Mm-hmm. They've all brought their different flavors, but, you know, I got a really great relationship with Jonathan. I spoke to him last night as the results were coming in, and we were kind of had our team and the different polling locations collecting results, and let him know who was successful in their races. And, you know, I think he's excited to work with Daniel and the rest of the team and continue to address some of the biggest challenges that we face.
Yeah, it looks like Daniel will have maybe a friendlier council than even you have.
Well, I've worked with, I think, 17 different mayors and city council persons over my tenure here, and I think that a lot of what you're able to accomplish in this political space is because of the relationships that you make and the work that you put into working with people that sometimes you disagree with, or sometimes you've been on the opposing side of the ballot with. You know, I've worked with Jeremy Alexander on different things, despite us running against each other for mayor, and worked to endorse different city council candidates that were beat by some of the people on city council that I'm working with now that I've been able to work with policy on. Councilmember Forgrave is a good example. I endorsed Colleen Sullivan and he defeated her, but it's, you know, he's been somebody that I've been able to work with pretty extensively. And I think that a successful mayor and successful individual in any public office has to be someone that can work well with others and, you know, reach across the aisle or across the local political table and find some common ground. These aren't Democrat or Republican or conservative or liberal problems that we face. They're just city problems, and you know, they require us as individuals to come together and work to address them. And I think that that's going to be something that Daniel understands and leans into going forward here.
You haven't announced anything about your future plans. I didn't miss anything, did I?
I'll probably get some sleep. And then and we'll see. No, I haven't announced anything. Greg, I still got two meetings left, so
I know
I still
I know.
Got some things I'm pushing.
I'm just checking. I don't want to miss it.
You'll be the first to know.
No attorney general?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Thanks, Derek.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Jackson Mayor, outgoing, Derek Dobies.